other point that we want to discuss in House Bill 585 and Stokes wanting to change the state law. I think we need to come together and not handcuff police and look at the criminal and hold them accountable and introduce legislation that increases the sentence from 5 years, let's say, to 25 years. Because right now, as the law is written, if you flee from police and there's not an accident and you're not a habitual offender, it's 5 years max is what you can get, and you only serve 25% of that. So if you flee from police and crash or whatever, you're looking at less than a year in jail right now. And I think Stokes and everybody else in the metro area can come together, go to the legislature and say, hey, we need to change this. We need to make it minimum 25 years in prison if you run from the police.
Yeah. So and to clear that up, because I asked this question when we discussed it off there earlier, it doesn't matter how long that pursuit lasts. It can go from the coast to South Haven. As long as they don't kill anybody else, it is just one charge of fleeing.
That's correct. Well, if you hit somebody and hurt them, it raises the level in the sentencing.
Yeah.
But if you can run from Richland, Mississippi, all the way into Louisiana, and if you don't hurt somebody and you just crash into a tree and you get taken into custody, it's 5 years. That's the max.
At what point? Let's talk about this a little bit. At what point do you decide that, okay, maybe we need to try some spike strips, something like that? I don't know if we can give away inside baseball here,
but
at what point in a pursuit we say, okay, this is a safe enough area, we got traffic stopped? What goes into a thought process like that?
Well, just the safety of the officers is our primary concern, that and the citizens during a high-speed chase. And putting spike strips out are inherently dangerous for police officers unless you have a concrete barrier to get behind. We sent, the alderman gave all our officers the opportunity to go to training in Columbia, Mississippi. So now every patrol officer we have on our streets are PIT certified. So when we initiate a pursuit, we attempt to stop it as soon as we can by conducting a TVI or a PIT maneuver on the car, wrecking them out, taking them into custody where nobody gets hurt. You know, our alderman and I'm fine with replacing a $2,000 bumper and not risking the lives of innocent citizens, especially in other jurisdictions.
Absolutely. I like that. So, one of the things that just get brought up a lot with these pursuits is they could have set up a spike strip. They could have set up a roadblock. So you said roadblocks are unconstitutional during a chase.
Right.
That is insane. How does that make sense?
You can set up a roadblock, but you have to leave them an avenue of escape. Because basically they're saying the Fourth Amendment, if you set up a roadblock where there's no other way to escape and they hit and kill themselves, you seize them at that moment and use unnecessary force.
That makes my head hurt. We can set up a roadblock, but you got to be able to turn right.
Yep. You got to have an avenue of escape. But the Supreme Court's kind of been split on some of the decisions they've made. They've also, ruled that officers could use deadly force in a pursuit that was inherently dangerous to the citizens. So I think it depends on the level of danger involved in the pursuit of what kind of force you can use.
Let's talk about that. The Texas case.
Right.
They were pursuing somebody, and snipers got on the bridge and
killed him.
Cleaned his clock.
That's a fact. And, the Supreme Court ruled that was constitutional because of his reckless driving.
We're on the... I see broadcast. No. Okay. I think we're back now after the emergency broadcast there. Real quick, I tell you what. We were talking about a Texas case. And, caller, I know you're on hold. We were talking about a Texas case where there was a high-speed pursuit, and it had gone on for a while, and it was very, very dangerous. So they set up snipers on a bridge, and they cleaned the guy's clock. And the Supreme Court, Nick, you said?
Yeah, they ruled that the officer held no civil liability to the man's death because of his actions.
So you can't end it by any means necessary.
I think it depends on the situation. Now, we don't teach that, but, if it's a deadly situation, I think, and deadly force is justified, then you'll be justified in it.
Yeah, because you got to pick a spot in a situation like that where you say, okay, if we clean his clock, he's going to wreck.
Yeah.
What does the potential fallout of that, of the aftermath and all of that? That's interesting. All right, let's take this call real quick before we take a break. Hey, caller, you're on the air. Sorry for keeping you on hold.
That's all good. Hey, so I had a friend ride with me. I had a 16-foot trailer behind me. There is probably 40 trigger cops coming, chasing one guy. I see them coming. I'm on 220. And I'm turning to my buddy, and I'm like, hey, should I help him out? I could have easily gotten over there and blocked the guy. They told me no, like, you'll be liable. Now, what would have happened if I had gotten over there and blocked the guy? If say, he hit my trailer and wrecked? Would I not have been helping out?
I think you would have been helping out, but you're going to be in that situation. You'll be responsible for the damage to your trailer and your vehicle. You know, because police officers pursue individuals and they go through pursuit training every year. They're certified in certain maneuvers to end it. They have the radio, so they have a lot of training. And a citizen's, you know, I've seen videos where 18-wheelers have blocked individuals from fleeing. And, you know, we always love the help of citizens, but I would never put myself in danger as a citizen to try to stop a fleeing violent suspect.
Well, my thought was there's 40 of them. They ain't done a good job, and you know, whatever. I was just trying to help. But
yeah,
I'm glad that I listened to my friend. Thanks.
Yep. Appreciate it, brother. Hi, man. On that note, let's take a break real quick. You're listening to the Clay Edwards Show, joined by Richland Police Chief Nick McClendon. We're taking calls, we're taking texts, and we've got a bunch of them. We'll be right back on 103.9 WY.
Thanks for listening. Tune in tomorrow at 7 a.m. as the Clay Edwards Show discusses all that is going on in and around the city of Jackson.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Right here on 103.9 WYAB.